1, 2, 3. Game on, game on, it's game and time. Excellent. Game on, game on, it's game and time. Excellent.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back for another Game On Oz Weekly Show. I am Straightjacker Jim.
And I'm Petey. Oh, I don't even know what to... Oh, shit. I don't even know what to call myself. What am I calling myself?
You were going to go for a flashback to, like, Petey Power Up or something there.
I don't know what I was going to bloody say there, to be honest with you. I'm Pete. You know what threw me off? Okay, here's what threw me off. Usually when it's been myself and Dan in the past, I kick it off and I go, I'm Pete, and he goes, and I'm Dan the Internet. Mm-hmm. And so when you went, I'm Straightjacker Jim, I went to say, I'm Pete, but out of order. And then my brain kicked in and went, hang on, not only is it out of order, but you're also meant to say something longer because it's usually Dan, and that's when I shit myself. I'm Pete.
And I'm Straightjacker Jim.
Bloody good.
Nah, all good. All good. No, it is a little bit of a strange thing. And, you know, we just sort of tried it there because we don't normally do that sort of an intro either because, you know, with over the internet, it's harder to do those sorts of I'm such and such, I'm such and such. But, yeah, we did it. We did it. And then we sort of made a bit of a mess of it afterwards. But that's okay because that's live and dangerous, people.
Oh, so live and dangerous, brother. So live and dangerous. What's going on, mate? Have you had a nice week?
I have. Yeah, Wednesday, my day off. It's been great. Been getting really, really stuck into the Old Republic because they dropped a new expansion last week.
SWTOR?
Yeah, SWTOR. Legacy of the Sith expansion. Been having a great time with that. Getting my head around these new combat styles that they've got. So basically before when you picked a class, there were two advanced classes in there, and then each advanced class had three skill trees pretty much. Now what they're letting you do is you can pick basically two advanced classes that you can go, and then you can hot swap between the skill trees underneath, which makes for some really quite dynamic things that you can do. It also means that your one character can have a loadout for DPS, tank, or healer, which is quite amazing, I think. I'm really enjoying that, and I'm just sort of starting to get my head around how all that works and how I can make it work in the game.
Well, I think what I like about that is when you're teaming up, right, if you've got hot swaps available to you now, then there goes the, all right, you have to DPS or you have to tank or you have to heal, and that's it. That's the only thing that you're locked into. It sounds like, not that I play much, as I've mentioned, but to me, that malleability of your character builds, I think, enhances the experience of the game because, it means that you can just, you try something new. Like, maybe, I don't know, maybe you're so used to DPS, but you don't want to do that tonight, right? And somebody else wants to have a go at it. Because at the end of the day, I mean, I know we take these things relatively seriously, but at the end of the day, man, it's a game, isn't it? It's just a bit of fun. So...
That's it. We're doing it for fun, and it also means things like, if you're in the middle of an operation, which is an 8-man, like this can take a couple of hours to get through, and if someone has to drop out, if you lose a DPS, that's not so bad. DPSs are a dime a dozen, but if you lose a tank or a healer, they're much harder to come by, and rather than having to go, I've got one of those characters, let's log out and log back in with that character, and then get up to where it is. You can just have it on that one character and go, oh yeah, cool, no worries. Here we go. I'll just load up my loadout for the tank.
Yeah. Oh God, it was so frustrating playing like Destiny Vanilla. Yeah. Back in the day when you wanted to shift off like your original build and you'd have to fuck around something chronic to get there. And you're right, like the jumping out, grabbing your other character, jumping back in. It's been finessed over time. And actually Witch Queen out this week as well, dude. Oh, yeah. Yeah, as of today. And in fact, I am, as we speak, logging into my Steam account because I've got to pop my code in to download Witch Queen.
Hey, nice.
I'm a little excited because it's been a little while since I've played Destiny. It has been a little while. Myself and Inferno tried to get onto it, you know, ages ago, but like typical dads, man, it's just a matter of like not having the same amount of time. Like if like once upon a time, especially when vanilla was around, it first came out and we were playing originally and I didn't have kids or anything like that. All I used to do was play. I just used to play so much. It's been hours and hours and hours. And we'd raid whenever the hell we want, you know, like to Christ. But yeah, not that easy these days, but still occasionally get the opportunity to get onto it, which is good.
So obviously that's something you'll be playing. What else have you been playing?
Oh, what else have I been playing? And at this point in time, I'd like to say hello to Grumpy Goran, who's in chat. Hey, buddy, one of our very own. As are all of these in their own way. Drop Bears here, Gamma. Great to have you guys here tonight. But I have been playing Elden Ring, which is, yes, because I'm writing the review, which will drop. Today's Wednesday. Embargo lifts on Friday, but it'll drop on Friday. Hey, Haughty Chicken, hello. Oh, Haughty Chicken's here. Oh, what a legend.
Amazing.
Yes, there you go. Yeah, Haughty, as you know, Friday at 10 a.m., you beauty. King Cow, hey, mate, great to have you here. And Raven Sky's here as well. Yeah, Friday at 10 o'clock, Resonance is here, hello. So I'm very excited to drop my review on this because I have been playing Elden Ring since the weekend. So I've got a review copy thanks to Bandai Namco Australia, because obviously the publisher, it's come out from Software, which I've actually really struggled with writing the review around, to be honest with you, because when you're writing a review, it's very hard to say, and you remember this game from Software. So I'm editing a lot on the fly.
Can you say something like, do you remember this game by From Software?
Yeah, well, you can. Yeah, one thing at a time, mate. One foot in front of the other. We're in these crazy COVID times, you know? Like, my mind's a mess.
Crack out the thesaurus.
Exactly. But it's been really cool writing this review. I'm not allowed to dive into too much right this very second. But for me, what this game represents and what I feel like they've done quite a good job of, and like I said, I'm not allowed to say too much. I'm not really going to reveal too much here. What I feel like they've done a good job of is while a lot of developers are guilty of trying to reinvent the wheel, I feel like with Elden Ring, which is a like ARPG horror survival, much like Bloodborne, Dark Souls, in fact, it's very similar to Dark Souls 3 in terms of its feel, and Sekiro, Shadows Die Twice, and that's a lie, by the way. If I was a shadow in that game, I died multiple times. Twice, we didn't even cut it. But what they've done an incredibly good job of, mate, is that they have focused on updating the experience in a couple of very particular ways, but they have not tried to invent the wheel. And this game, I can tell you very early on, I've sunk about 3 hours into it, so not too much. And it's no secret that it's an open world game, whereas, you know, your Bloodborne's and some of the others are actually quite linear. And the reason why they've gone open world is because they wanted to give people who have never experienced Dark Souls, Bloodborne and so on and so forth, these survival horror games, an opportunity to, I don't know, like get into this game a little bit easier. I think they've done a really good job of it. There's a lot that are guilty of fucking this stuff up royally because they try to reinvent the wheel too much. I think these guys have struck a really beautiful balance between we've updated and optimized the experience just enough to make it feel fresh, but at the same time, we know we're onto a good thing here and we know the fans love it, so this is how we're going to keep the fans happy as well.
And From Software, they're no slouchers with their games. Like you say, they've done the the Souls series. They've done Sekiro. They've done so many good games. So I'm really interested to see that. And as we go in chat, Slatos, thank you so much for that tier one sub. 8 months. 8 months.
That's 8 months. That's 8 months, Slatos. Your legend, Rogue Kitty Cat, is in here. Haughty Chicken saying, I read that exploration is pretty good, so that was the final tick for me. I'm trusting you, Pete. No pressure. Famous last words, Haughty. I can tell you famous last words. But fingers crossed that
it's no Fallout 76. But
yeah. No, it's no Fallout 76. It's no 10 out of 10 off the launch day. Raven's guy saying only 3 hours, Pete, get cracking. And trust me, I am getting cracking on this. The funny thing is, being an open world game and less linear, and I know I can say this stuff because I'm sure it's not breaking embargo, fingers crossed. Because at the end of the day, it's just talking about the experience of an open world game. You get so heavily invested into exploration that I reckon of those 3 or 4 hours that I've played, maybe 15, 20 minutes, half an hour at the most, I reckon, has been dedicated to actually playing the story. So, yeah, we'll be a little bit guilty of that. That's all.
It's kind of like all open world games. You get into them and all of a sudden you're just going, ooh, what's that? I feel like James Wood in that episode of Family Guy, ooh, piece of candy, ooh, piece of candy, ooh, piece of candy, candy. Ooh, yeah. Yeah.
And but that's the reality of it, right? You're like, that's the beauty of the open world game. I think that's what new players to the genre will actually get a real kick out of. That exploration, you're not coming up against enemy after wave after wave after wave after hard after hard after hard. And I can tell you, you know, as a huge fan of Bloodborne and Dark Souls and Sekiro, having sunk ridiculous amounts of hours into those games, when you do come up against the big baddies, they are big and they are bad, and they are hard and they are tough. So which I love, because I love the challenge. I genuinely love the challenge. I love the, you know, over and over again having to learn and track their movements and try and get an understanding for how these big baddies, these bosses fight. So yeah, the three things that when my review is out, it will come down to, will be, you know, how they've managed to integrate an open world into such a linear, genre of games that they've originally built. That's one. The other thing will be how they've integrated multiplayer, because they've done a bit of a revamp of that as well. And the other thing will just be general sort of story. You know, like how have they gone about sort of giving us something that's going to feel relatively fresh? So, yeah, you'll see that on Friday.
Oh, can't wait to see that over on GameOnOz.com. Keep your eye out for it. It's got some amazing games. You should also go over there and check out whatever's coming up. I know I just wrote a story there about the new SWTOR expansion as well. You can see some of my thoughts there. And, like, all our writers from Zulu, Blue, Inferno, all those lovely, lovely people, and Grumpy Goron as well, of course. Can't forget about him. It's going to be amazing. Just pop on over there, and there's some big games coming out that you'll see later on there.
Andrew, and if you want to check out the PSVR 2 design, because it's been officially unveiled, our tech guru Zulu has got the full write up there too at GameOnOz.com. Looking pretty good. Might be time to get into a bit of VR. I don't know. We'll see. Hi, Oxleisha. Lovely to have you along.
So you said you're a bit of a fan of the harder games. Have you played Metroid Dread?
Yeah, man.
Yeah? Have you seen this getting an update? One-shot kills.
Bulldust.
No, it's coming out. Yeah, it's getting a free update. One-shot kills.
As in enemies one-shot you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just don't know if I'd have the patience at the moment, because as it is, even though I'm loving Elden Ring, like I'm getting my ass handed to me, I'm getting the you died across the screen quite often, and any more than 2 or 3 times, I'm putting the controller down for a moment and going to take a breather. It's giving me PTSD of Bennett Foddy, getting over it with Bennett Foddy. Remember those days? It was years ago.
Oh, my God. That game. Jeez. Never played it myself, but yeah.
That does sound cool. And I suppose, you know, that's not a games as a service game, so they're going to bring some sort of update to it to keep it relatively fresh. I'm really, you know what I will be excited for when that update comes out for Metroid Dread, will be seeing how the speedrunners go.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They're crazy, the speedrunners.
Speedrun culture is the best.
Oh, I tell you one thing it did make me want to do, though, was go back and play some of the older Metroid games. Like, because, once again, game of confession, that is, Metroid Dread is the first Metroid game I've played. Like, I've been alive for, like, all the Prime ones on the GameCube. I was there for Super Metroid, but I just never got around to playing it. Like, as a kid, Super Metroid wasn't really what I was into, but I'd love to go back and play them now. And I get a little bit worried sometimes that we might not be able to, especially with some things like, I don't know if you saw last week, we were talking about, and I can't remember if you were here for it or if you'd left when Stormy and I were talking about it, but Nintendo have announced that they're shutting down the Wii U/3DS online shop.
Yeah, God, sad.
It really is, especially considering, like, the 3DS and the Wii U went well together because of the second screen, and it does take a lot to port those games to other systems because you've got to rejig the entire control system, you know, even for something like Mario Galaxy and the 3D All-Stars that they had. They tried to the Joy-Cons to do something similar to the Wiimotes, but it just didn't happen. It just didn't play well to me. In fact, most of the 3D All-Stars didn't really play all that well to me. It sort of seemed like it wasn't quite there and could have done with a little bit more polish. But interestingly, on the Q&A for the shutting down of the shop there, very, very briefly, and you can still read this on the Wayback Machine if you want it, but this was on the official Nintendo of America page with the FAQ about the game. There was a question there that was put in there. This is a quote from the website. So, once it is no longer possible to purchase software in Nintendo eShop on Wii U and the Nintendo 3DS family of systems, many classic games for past platforms will cease to be available for purchase anywhere. Will you make classic games available to own some other way? If not, then why? Does Nintendo have an obligation to preserve its classic games by continually making them available for purchase? So then there's a couple of little bits and pieces there, but the last point from the answer side of it is, we currently have no plans to offer classic content in other ways. So basically, you got what you got, and that's what you got.
Yeah, and why would they? Like, they're a commercial company, and if you're spending money downloading old games that are past their use by date, you're not spending money downloading new games. But do they have an obligation? No, I don't think they do, commercially speaking. So, you know, like do they – they don't have an obligation to make sure that those games last forever. Would it be nice if they did? Yes, it would. But I had the Wii and I had the Wii U. I had a 3DS. And I can't tell you the last time I actively went looking for a Wii or Wii U game or a 3DS game to download and play.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so for me, it's like, yeah, I totally get what this dude is saying. Do they belong catalogued in a museum? I think that'd be awesome. There's that part of me that, you know, is a bit of a dreamer and is a Nintendo super fan, but, excuse me, would 100% love for these things to be able to last forever. But I guess, you know, when they're a company looking at the reality of whether or not people are going to go to the trouble of downloading these games, they're probably coming back with the answer being no. And I don't blame them for coming to that accord. And, you know, we've discussed it many times on this show straight that we're so spoilt for choice. We're so incredibly spoilt for choice, right? Nostalgia is great. I love nostalgia. I love that nostalgic hit. But, I mean, the reality is, you know, I pulled out the N64 to play GoldenEye 007, you know, God, a couple of years ago because I was like, fuck, GoldenEye. I haven't played it in so long. I remember being so good and blah, blah, blah. 2022, or well, when it was then, it was like 2019. But 2019, Pete did not have a good time with GoldenEye 007. You know what I mean?
And I think there are some games that's true for. And I think GoldenEye is one of them, especially when you can't tell the difference between a proximity mine and just a speck on the wall. But it was a couple of, probably 2019 for me as well. Maybe actually probably 2020. I took out Legend of Zelda, Ocarina of Time.
Yep.
That is still a great game. And so there are still games there. And more to the point, the way Nintendo have done their online stores. So since they've had one from the Wii, each console has had a different online store. So you haven't been able, so the purchases that you made on the Wii didn't necessarily transfer over to the Wii U. And in fact, if you had purchased any games through the Wii Virtual Console and wanted to get them again on the Wii U, you had to pay a transfer fee. I kind of look at it and go, video game preservation is a thing. There are plenty of organizations out there that are doing it. Even the Library of Congress in the US has started to do that with video game preservation. But then you start looking at digital-only titles that, because now on the Switch, okay, imagine the successor to the Switch comes out. Nintendo have pushed really, really hard to get lots of indie devs onto the Switch eShop. Which is great. I love seeing all the indie devs there. Right? But if they follow their form and the Switch online shop is just the Switch online shop, whatever comes out next, those games will be locked to the Switch online shop. And if they don't come over to the new shop, then they're going to disappear when Nintendo shuts off the Switch shop. You know, it's...
Yeah.
And then you get the other side of the coin where you've got a company like Xbox where their games still work on their Series X. Like I remember when the Series X came out and there was that footage of someone who system linked an OG Xbox, an Xbox 360, an Xbox One and an Xbox Series X and was playing multiplayer Crimson Sky across all of them. Like that sort of technology is just an amazing thing. And I'm glad that Microsoft are looking at that and seeing what they can do to, I'm going to, you know, go out on a limb here and say game preservation is not their primary goal there, but because I think their philosophy is just games anywhere and anytime sort of thing. But that philosophy also lends itself to the games preservation. And especially considering Nintendo's harsh stance on emulation. So this, you know, a game, it's not available anywhere anymore. You cannot get it. It's not one of the few that Nintendo have put on their online that you can play for free with your online subscription. But they still won't let you play it to emulate it. Like the Melee tournament that they tried to take online a few years ago where Nintendo sent them a cease and desist letter because the way they could play it online was through use of an emulator. Yeah, it's tricky because these are still the Nintendo. Well, I'm used to saying Nintendo a lot, but it's those characters, those games are still owned by somebody. But if they're not being used, they're not being sold, there's no plans for them to be redone. Like, I would really like to see a way to preserve them and let people play them. You know, you've got the old freeware and shareware that you used to have back in the DOS days, but, yeah, I'd really like to see something like that come back.
I suppose I wonder what the solution there is. Maybe the solution isn't Nintendo does that. Maybe the solution is somebody else, like a private organization comes in and takes care of that instead. And I'm not talking like a, you know, a cataloging organization or something, but somebody who can actually go, you know what? Hey, Nintendo, can you license us every single title you've ever had and allow us to put it on this platform digitally that people can access via the cloud, and they pay $5 a month. Maybe they attach it to their Nintendo profile or something. I don't know. But just quickly, while I'm thinking about it, because we've been talking about sort of cross-generational purchases and so on and so forth, if you're watching this right now and you're yet to buy Horizon Forbidden West, buy it on the PS4, don't buy it on the PS5. You'll pay more money to get it on the PS5 when if you buy it on the PS4, you get it for cheaper and you can port up to the PS5 version for free. Okay, so that's just
that's
a little
sneaky
thing. Yeah, it's a little thing that I read the other day. So yes, if you're interested in the game, you want to save yourself a few bucks. I don't know that it's a lot. I think it might be something like, I don't know, maybe $10 a difference or something like that, which is, you know, fuck.
$10 is $10, man.
$10 is $10, mate. Better in my pocket than theirs. So, yeah, buy the PS4 version, get the free port to upgrade to PS5. Yeah, man, I don't know what the answer is. And like I said, it would be nice to have something, some way to access this stuff. But, you know, I can tell you my 2022 gaming brain isn't thinking about it. You know, as it is, I've got Nintendo Switch Online, and sitting there right now are Super Mario, Mario Kart 64, Star Fox, Yoshi's Story, Zelda, Win Back Mario Tennis, Dr. Mario 64, and I think, God, what's that? Sin and Punishment, which I never played anyway. But, man, you know, Paper Mario is on there, and... I get excited seeing those titles, but excited me is not the same me when I'm actually playing the games. Mm. You know what I mean? Like you get a cool little nostalgic hit. I'd say maybe three which buck the trend would be Super Mario 64, Ocarina of Time, and Mario Kart 64. Paper Mario's up there as well. Like, they're all great games, but in terms of, like, okay, I could play this all the way through again, or just, you know, just a happy, fun time, Mario Kart 64. But Ocarina of Time, you know, shit, I played it on the 64 half a dozen times. I played it on the 3DS when it came out. I've been playing a little bit of it on the Nintendo Switch Online store. So, yeah. You know, I just think the reality is like our dreamy gamer brains are very different to our reality gamer brains, you know?
That is also true. And like you said, there are just so many games to play. They're crazy. And you don't even have to spend money on some of them. Like No Man's Sky, but Star Citizen. They're doing a free, they're calling it free fly at the moment till the 25th of Feb. You can go and play Star Citizen for nothing.
Mm.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, but it just blows my mind that that's still where Star Citizen is at.
Yeah,
like how long has that game been in development for?
I don't know. Like even like you, on their website, you go and have a look at it, and like it says, try Star Citizen for free from February 17th through 25th. This code gives you access to Star Citizen Alpha 3.16.1. Not even beta, Alpha.
Yeah,
that's crazy to me.
Man, I'm not confident we'll ever get the full game. I don't know.
But then again, you know, it's like Flexi's been playing Escape from Tarkov for how long, and that's still in early access on Steam.
Mm.
But it is interesting seeing these games. Like there are so many either games with free to play options or just games that you could play and never spend a cent on. Like
Like sure.
From just the MMOs that you got, like I got into FF14 last year just on the free trial, which I was loving playing that. you know, SWTOR has its own free-to-play option up to level 65. SWTOR, yeah. Yeah, and I think even WoW has something. And Lost Ark that's just come out, free-to-play as well. And that's before you even get into things like Valorant and Apex and League of Legends. And all those sorts of games that are free to play. World of Tanks, free to play. Yeah,
Horty would know like a, you know, a fair bit about how WoW is working, because see a lot of her updates around around WoW. WoW indeed. Our sound is muffled. Oh shit!
Which one are we talking about? Me.
9 is saying our sound is muffled.
I hope it's not me. Sorry.
Might be. Maybe it's me. I don't know. Whose sound? My sound. My sound is muffled. Might be.
Been sounding right to me.
I don't know.
Yeah. But yeah, and I just like, sorry, a little bit.
Hang on. Drop bear. Yes. There is still no air conditioning in the sweatbox. Just so you know, man. I'm wringing my arms out.
I'm looking at the chrome Mandalorian you got behind you. I reckon you could put an egg on him and cook it.
Man, he's sweating.
Yeah.
He's sweating. Aren't you, buddy? Yep. God.
But yeah, it's just so much choice in just free to play. You could play so many games and never spend a cent. And we're not just talking about the pew-pew shooty games. Like, you can play games with substance to their story. Yeah. And it does make me wonder a bit though, because with free to play games, you download them, you'll play them for a bit, and then you might never touch them again. And I kind of look at SWTOR for that, because when that game launched, I think your audio has dropped off altogether now, Pete.
Has it?
Oh no, there we go. There he is. I just didn't hear you say SWTOR.
Sorry, everybody. You know what's happening? I think I know what's happening. Because I've got Steam downloading Witch Queen. So maybe my internet's just shitting itself. I'm just going to pause the download. Oh, what an age we live in. Vague Blue Dragon saying WoW is free up to a certain level till you need a sub. Mm. There you go.
Yeah, and SWTOR's the same. But the thing for me is, like, SWTOR started off, it was, you had to be subscribed to be able to play it. And I think that built a player base for it. So people that wanted to play it were there to play it. And then later on, they brought in the free-to-play option, which back when they did bring that in, free-to-play was sort of seen as the place where MMOs went to die. Like, if you had to go free-to-play, it meant that your game was suffering. But somehow, here we are 10 years later and SWTOR's still here. But then you get games like Lost Ark that's just come out. So I'm having fun with Lost Ark. So I'm if it didn't come out like 3 days before the Legacy of the Sith, I'd be playing that at the moment. But, I'm diving into Star Wars instead. But I wonder how long that'll hold my attention and whether it'll get to a point where without paying for something, it'll feel grindy and you might have some gotcha mechanics, or if you might have to, or I might get bored of it and move on to something else. Like, I haven't touched Final Fantasy 14 since I finished the vanilla campaign, which I would like to get into more, but I just haven't had the time. And I felt like that was a stopping point to do it.
My issue at the moment is that I, when it comes to like MMOs, MMORPGs, you need a lot more time than I have to be able to sink into them, like to get momentum. You know what I mean? And not get left behind. That's what killed me with Destiny for a while there, because I just got left behind. And then it got to a stage where, like, so many updates and stuff came out that I was, you know, talking to mates and they're talking about it, but I'm not playing it. So, I, you know, feel left out about it. And I got left behind. And we're so spoilt for choice at the moment. We're so spoilt for choice. that it's almost dangerous in a way to a lot of these games. I mean, you look at look at the couple of weeks that we're passing through at this particular time. You've got Elden Ring coming out. You got Horizon Forbidden West. You've got Destiny's new expansion pack, The Witch Queen. On top of that, you said, you know, you've got SWTOR's new DLC.
SWTOR.
And there you go. GW2 next week. Thanks, Horty. And it's a golden age. You can't say that it's not a golden age, because it is. We're getting everything as a consumer and as a gamer that we could possibly want to keep us busy. But
except the time. We don't get the time, damn it.
There is so much to play that I actually don't have an opportunity to sink myself enough into something before. You know that classic meme? The dude, he's walking with his missus. They're like this, and she's like that, and she's there. And then he's like, ooh, at the other chick. Right? That particular meme is the games industry in general at the moment. And that dude is me, right? I'm happily walking along with bloody Elden Ring and then Horizon Forbidden West. Oh, shit. And then I'll just be like, okay, see you, Elden Ring. It's been fun. And then I'll be happily walking along with Horizon Forbidden West and then Destiny 2 The Witch Queen. Oh, hello, boo. And this is the issue that we face at the moment. We're so spoilt for choice. God, I agree with you, Pete. Too much dilution of gaming means nothing is really taking my attention. That's a huge issue for mine. I think that's a really big issue, but there's nothing that you can do about it. I mean, and it's such a personal issue too, because I know that there are people who are yet to have families and full-time jobs and, you know, they've got disposable income. They're the ones who, or maybe they're past that and the families have moved out and, you know, they've got time to get back into it again. And, you know, those are the ones where they can spend their 6 to 8 hours a day gaming like I bloody used to when I was at home as a kid. And I'd get home from high school and I'd drop my bag at the door, give mum a kiss, and run into my bedroom and shut the door and wouldn't come out till dinner time, you know, because bloody Super Mario 64 was begging for me to be, you know, to play it for hours. So, yeah, the other issue that I'm facing at the moment, Chimbo.
Oh, God.
The other issue I'm facing at the moment is that I can't have anything beyond a PG rating on my TV.
Oh, the joys of children.
Oh, man. And they're always there and they're always around and I love them. I love them to bits and, God, life would be shithouse without them. But, Christ, they're always just there. And even that, like, even for them to be in the house, like I say to my wife, like, okay, the kids are in the playroom. Kids are in the playroom. They're doing their own thing. They're watching Nastia or whatever the shit that they watch these days. They're doing their own thing.
Sorry, Nastia.
Yeah. Oh, God.
That doesn't sound like a children's show.
Some Slovakian bloody child YouTuber. She's got to be like 4 or 5 years old, but she is worth a mint. Like her views are the stuff dreams are made of. We can only ever dream of being able to hit that sort of audience, mate, and she's knocking these videos out on the daily, and my kids are invested.
Maybe that's what we need to do. Can we do like a two-person show with your two eldest? See what they do?
Sure.
Yeah.
We'll give it a shot. Yeah. It's crazy. It's Vlad and Nikki. Vlad and Nikki are another, you know, power couple of brothers that are there making videos and making heaps. There's that Ryan kid who hit mainstream news a little while ago because he's earning an absolute mozza. These are the things that my kids are watching on the tubes. While I'm just trying to get half an hour of decent gaming in straight. Anyway. Kidnap some kids and make a YouTube series with them. Sure. Raven, Sky, go for it. Let me know how you go. sweet dollars.
That's it. Make it rain, people. Make it rain. Cool. Well, yeah, no, it is. And I don't have kids myself. I don't have a missus. So I get most of my time is to myself. And in fact, I only work 4 days a week. You know, when hockey season comes around, I play hockey on Saturdays and, you know, get on the piss with the boys. But even then, I find it so hard to find time for gaming. Freaking adult life is just crazy. You're catching up with people or you're doing that thing where you say, oh, we got to catch up. Sure, no worries. And then a month goes by and you repeat the process of, oh, yeah, we should catch up sometime. But, yeah, it's adult life, man, adult life.
Yeah, it's crazy.
But still, we make the time for the bits and pieces that we love. Because you know what we bloody love, Pete?
We bloody love gaming, mate.
That's it.
What we bloody love. Is there anything else we were going to cover off tonight?
I think that was about it. I think those were the topics we wanted to talk about.
That was
fun.
I'm going to say, ladies and gents, keep an eye out for the Elden Ring drop. And I'm pretty sure that we've got a Witch Queen drop coming soon as well.
Kuzma 123, thank you so much for that Prime sub.
Legend. Prime sub, thank you for the Prime sub, Kuzma. Yeah, it'll be a good one, Horty. I tell you, mate, you'll love it. You'll love the game. They did come out and say we're going to do a few things to the game for new players who never played a Dark Souls or something like that. And I think they've nailed that. Oh, first time chat from Kuzma, and he's even dropping in the emotes. Hang on.
He subbed before he even chatted. Legend.
Did that work?
No, I didn't hear anything.
You didn't hear anything?
No.
Did chat hear anything?
Oh, I got a little bit of like a tinkly thingy.
Tinkle?
Yeah.
There's a cricket. Nothing. Oh. What the shit? Well, it's not bloody happening for me tonight, Jimbo. whatever.
That's all right.
So there we go. Straight Jacket Jim, the community games night was great. That's right. We held a community games night the other night.
That's it, through our Discord. It was so much fun. Bit of Halo between some fellow legends there. It was... Yep. It was just chill, man. Yeah, we had some wins, we had some losses, had some laughs, and just a bit of fun.
That's what gaming's all about, mate.
That
just
is exactly it.
People getting together and having a good time.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. My friend, it's been real. It's been good fun.
It's been great having a chat with you again, Pete. But great getting some insight onto some game preservation stuff, and also about, is there too many games? And I'm going to say maybe, but you can never have too many games.
Oh, we sound like wankers, don't we? We sound like absolute wankers. Oh, we've got too many games.
We're just jealous that we can't play them all anymore.
God, you poor things. Too many games to play. Oh, boo, freaking who? Sure, I get it. first world problems, but it is, Horty, it's a lovely problem to have. But it is a problem nonetheless.
It is.
It's like the gamers equivalent of Powerball problems. You know, they have those ads for the Powerball, $120 million Thursday night, you guys.
Yeah, I've got to get my ticket.
Ooh. Get your ticket. But, yeah, man, like Powerball problems, that's a Powerball problem.
Mm.
And yet we don't have to spend a shit ton to have that problem. So life's pretty good.
That's it. But thanks, everybody, for watching. Very much enjoyed having you all here, seeing everybody in chat. Awesome to see. And remember, don't forget to save.
Do not forget to save, y'all legends.